Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. We got a big day ahead of us because the Lakers, they got themselves a dub yesterday over number one OKC. But not just that. LeBron James, he did his thing, 20-plus points, 20-plus points. D'Angelo Russell, 26 points. That's going on the basketball court. But on a football field, how about Jason Kelce, future Hall of Famer, retiring? What does that mean for the Philadelphia Eagles? Are their Super Bowl chances completely over and done with? And staying in the NFC East, Dak Prescott. Word on the street is the Cowboys are going to give him a contract extension. But how should Cowboys fans feel about that? Heading to the desk, Shady, there was way too much joy in your face. There was way too much joy in your face. I played it off, though.
Can you say handles? Suspect?
I'm glad I didn't take the wager. That is James Jones, Super Bowl champ on the far end. James, how we living, big dog?
Man, we living good, man. Can't complain.
It's all good. Joy Taylor, how are we? How are we?
We're great.
And so Eagles.
We get a new quarterback in the 412 soon.
Oh. All-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy.
Listen, strong right hand. Your left hand.
It was my right that betrayed me, 2-5. Well, speaking of being betrayed, Russell Wilson yesterday released by the Denver Broncos. Remember, just 5 years ago, they gave him a $242 million deal. And now in what may go down as the worst trade in the history of the NFL, Russell Wilson set to be a free agent as soon as the league year starts. That's on March 13th. The questions, though, are very simple, Joy. People think that Russell Wilson would make the Steelers, who had a really good defense last year, instant contenders. They think that it is a match made in heaven. I personally do not. But let's not think about Russell Wilson for a moment. Let's think about the Steelers. You know Steelers well. You grew up in Pittsburgh. Should the Steelers want Russell Wilson?
Yes, I think the Steelers should want Russell Wilson. This past year, they were 28th in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
25th in total offense.
Mm.
That's what we on Speak like to call bad. Not good. The last time that Russell Wilson and the Steelers won a playoff game, Russ last won a playoff game in 2019, the Steelers last won a playoff game in 2016.
No.
Now, they get to the playoffs, but they don't win. And part of the reason for that is they need a quarterback.
Sure.
They have a defense. I just read you the offensive rankings. They have Mike Tomlin. They have lots of weapons. They have great stars. They have a culture. They have tradition. They have an identity. But the one thing that they're missing is the quarterback position. I understand there's questions on both sides of this. Would a quarterback really make a difference for the Steelers? Are we just imagining how good they are? Is Russell Wilson still capable of elevating a team? Do we imagine how good Russell Wilson is? What we do know is the Steelers are consistent and Russ is capable. And that is why I think this is a good match. We talk about this all the time, replacing quarterbacks. Should this team get a different quarterback? We're going to talk about another team, a very high-profile team. Should they replace their quarterback? I think we have like three segments in the show about teams possibly replacing their quarterbacks. It's the position that we talk about the most. It's the position that gets the most focus, and as it should, because they influence the game that much. The Steelers need a high-level quarterback, and Russell Wilson needs a home that he doesn't have to build. That's what the Steelers are to me.
The Steelers need a high-level quarterback. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think the dilemma at hand is Russell Wilson that high-level quarterback? I don't think the Steelers should want Russ. And it's not because Russ isn't capable of playing. It's because if the Steelers feel as though they are just a quarterback away, is Russell Wilson that quarterback that's keeping them away? I don't think so. Remember, the Steelers had Ben Roethlisberger when they had good defenses, too. And Ben Roethlisberger, from that 2017 to 2018-19-20 timeframe, he was 12th in the National Football League in passing yards. Well, Russell Wilson is currently 12th off of last season in the National Football League in passing yards. So when I think about it, it's not as though the Steelers haven't had a quarterback in the last 10 years. They have. But the Steelers, in my mind, they aren't as close as we think. Shady McCoy, Russell Wilson isn't as close as we think. So when I really think about it, I look at Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin as a Spider-Man meme. They are both incredibly, incredibly, incredibly good at what they do. They're very well elevated in our minds. But if we're being honest, they've both been to two Super Bowls. They both won a Super Bowl. Both of them, it was a distant time ago. Mike Tomlin does a great job carrying his defense when his offense isn't there. Russell Wilson in Seattle did a great job carrying his offense when his defense wasn't there. But ultimately, neither of them have won playoff games, a lot of them, in the recent history. So you're looking at the same guy. I do not believe that Russell Wilson plus Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin plus Russell Wilson, James, I don't think that's really going to amount to what we think it should. I don't know that the Steelers should want Russ.
The Steelers should definitely want Russell Wilson. And when I look at Russell Wilson, I really see Ben Roethlisberger. And what I mean by that is, obviously, I'm not talking size-wise and all that, Pauls, like Shady say, but Ben Roethlisberger never carried the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had really good defenses, and when he needed to deliver, when the game was on the line, Ben Roethlisberger showed up. When
never is in never carried them and won, because Ben definitely
Super
carried.
Bowl.
There we go.
Thank you. Never carried the team and won a Super Bowl.
Yes,
all the Super Bowls he went to, he had a really good defense. I played against Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl and against that defense. Really good defenses. Never really carried the team to a Super Bowl. So that's Russell Wilson. Right? Legion of Boom never really carried a team to the Super Bowl, but to get W's when they needed a quarterback to go down the field and score, whether it's three, whether it's seven, to make the right plays, Ben Roethlisberger did. Russell Wilson did. Russell Wilson even did it at times last year. When the Denver Broncos defense was playing at a high level, they were 6-1. And Russ did have the ball in his hands at the end of the game to go down there and deliver. Russell Wilson did beat Josh Allen and beat Patrick Mahomes. So for me, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, give yourself a fighting chance. Kenny Pickett is not beating Patty in the playoffs. He's not going to beat Lamar. He's not going to beat Joe. He's not going to beat a healthy Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to happen. At least give yourself a fighting chance, and you get to get him for cheap. If we all walked into the car dealership right now, we was trying to get our favorite car, and they say, Shady, lucky day. You get 90% off. You're going to get three of them. One for Pops, one for Mom, one for me. You're going to get three. That's what this Russell Wilson, you don't got to pay this man no money. You giving him veteran minimum because he's already getting paid by the Broncos. This makes all the sense to give yourself a fighting chance to go win a championship and try to win one.
That's a good point because he's not going to ask him for too much probably.
There's
not a lot of people knocking on the door like, hey, we want you, Russ, right? And I know that feeling, like, okay, you don't want me? Cool, I'm going to go with somebody that wants me. But to your point, what should the Steelers do then? They should stick with Trubisky and Kenny Pickett?
I think you got a couple options. I think you got Kirk Cousins in free agency.
He ain't going there.
I also think that you have the deepest quarterback draft class that I can remember maybe at least since 2012.
Oh, you want to get a rookie? Okay, keep going.
So, well, those are really your only options. You got free agency, you got trade, and you got a rookie.
Because free agency is expensive.
It is expensive, but so is winning.
Yeah, but you think Kirk Cousins is worth that money over Russell Wilson's veteran minimum?
Off of Achilles?
Well, here's a question. Are we having a business conversation or are we having a winning conversation?
You have to have both.
I think if you have the business conversation, of course you get Russ. But I don't think that's a winning conversation.
But you have to have both.
But they've been winning,
though.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's a cap and you have to pay people.
I agree. I'm simply saying is if you're getting Russ because of money, agree with y'all. Of course. Yeah, he's cheap. So
it's Russ because of money and talent. Like, he's not just completely devoid of talent. If you bring in Kirk Cousins, you have to pay him, which means you will lose talent on your roster if you can even move those things around.
I don't think, Shady, because I didn't want to take it from you, I don't think that Russ is the missing piece.
I mean, my question to you is, like, what are you going to do then? Because every year the Steelers get so close with nothing, right? Like, it's actually remarkable what they're doing over there. Like, you're having a chance to get in the playoffs with that type of roster, that type of offense? Okay, so let's look at Russ's numbers real quick, right? So the team was 7-8, right?
Yep.
Not great, but they did have a 6-1
time stretch.
Grade, okay. So he had 230 yards per game. He had 29 touchdowns. You telling me if the Steelers had that, they want to be in a better situation? I think you're looking at Russ because who he is and what he's displayed so far, but he's not the old Russ. That's gone. But what the Steelers got, they have basically nothing. And I love Kenny Pickett, so I'm not going to go to that deep into it, but it's like they don't have much. So if you tell me they can't get Russ and they can't win games, how can they not?
I've
watched this defense win games, but I never even seen nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is winning games. I watched the Steelers play the Ravens, right? I'm like, oh, they about to smoke these boys. And they find out when they lose that game. Like, how did they lose to the Steelers? They do nothing on offense the whole game. Twice at that. So you tell me when you get Russell Wilson that had 230 yards and 29 touchdowns this year, that's not enough to compete in that division? That sounds crazy to me.
Russ's first year in Denver went bad.
Yeah.
Went bad for a lot of them.
I'm not talking about that year. I'm not even thinking about that year.
We shouldn't. But we should have some context. Because what that tells me is, outside of Russ having an offensive genius in a new location, at least we have history of Russ struggling. Maybe Nathaniel Hackett's atrocious. Maybe he's the worst coach in the history of mankind. Aaron Rodgers would probably disagree. Aaron Rodgers won 2 MVPs on the back of Nathaniel Hackett. But maybe Nathaniel Hackett can't coach and is an abysmal coach. Maybe. But I don't know what Arthur Smith can do as the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, who just got there. Steelers, for the first time in their history, Joy, at least in the last 60 or 70 years, fired a coach in the middle of the season. So I also can't guarantee that Russell Wilson is going to completely adapt to a brand new offense and hit the ground running, because in Denver, he struggled doing that same thing. So I'm just using all of
so
the
So is Trubisky, and this, see, you hear what you're saying, right? And I'm not saying you're wrong about that. My question to you is, well, who's going to do it then? That's my question. Who else is out there to get? Because they're not going to pay that money for Kirk Cousins.
No. Nope.
They're not. It's too many. It's too many desperate teams.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And you want to go to the rookie? You don't want to do the rookie. Who else is left?
I would rather. I feel you. But I guess y'all are giving me two options that I don't want.
No, yeah, because we're giving you the options.
We're giving three options. No, no. It's Russell Wilson, so that you don't have to pay him. You have Kirk Cousins, who you will have to pay and probably can't pay. Probably can't pay. The Steelers probably cannot afford Kirk Cousins. And then you have a rookie. Why would you get a rookie if you already have Kenny Pickett in the building
you're
developing? So you're not going to get a rookie.
Him in the first round.
And they're not going to pick that high to get into the
league.
Like, they're going
to
be gone.
Well, one, we have definitely seen. One, we've seen teams draft rookies back to back. Kenny Pickett would be on his third year. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Steelers wouldn't draft a quarterback.
They're trying to win right now.
Right.
Hold on.
Is that Steelers football?
Hold on.
But Steelers football
you
also.
You are Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
You are Coach Tomlin right now. You see the way your defense is playing. You see your division, who's in there? Lamar, Joe. You got to say Watson, because Cleveland was in the playoffs.
Just say Cleveland.
Right? You're the coach. You know you got to compete number one in that division. Then when you get to the playoffs, you must see Patty. You must see Josh. You must see Aaron Rodgers. You got to go through those guys. Can Kenny Pickett get that done?
No.
Okay, so now that's gone.
Out the table.
You're not going to get a Kirk Cousins because the price is going to be too high and he's coming off of Achilles injury.
Which one is it, though? Because I would rather restructure if we believe in Kirk. So let's not talk price.
You can't restructure. Like, we can't just say, like, okay, we're going to just clear the books for Kirk Cousins.
But we know
it's not going to happen. Let's just assume they're not going to do that, because they're not going to do that. They're not going to clear the books for Kirk Cousins if they can pay Russell Wilson veteran minimum.
We can make that assumption. I don't agree with it, but we can make that assumption for the sake of the hypothetical.
We're not playing fantasy football here. This is real life football. They have real salary caps. They have real money available. They have real people signed to contracts.
But you can
everybody's not
you
in
can,
that.
Of course. But we know you can convert things into bonuses. You can convert guarantees into bonuses. So it is possible. But
right.
If we want to say they're not going to do it, let's
but
say
let's
they're
also
not
assume they're not going to do it because Kirk Cousins is coming off of Achilles injury. She has not done anything in the postseason worth writing about.
He's a free agent,
so he can go and pick where he wants to go.
You got to cater to me.
He's going
to you.
He's going
to
get all the money that he wants. So let's assume that Kirk Cousins is a long shot because of all the reasons we just said. My question is really, outside of who else is going to do it besides Russell Wilson, is what's the difference between the Steelers and the Cowboys? Do you think that the Cowboys have a good chance of winning the Super Bowl?
Not with Dak Prescott.
Okay, last year we thought that they could probably do that, right? Do you think that the Cowboys are a team that can contend in the postseason?
Yes.
Why do we think that?
Because they have a really, 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 really good roster.
They have a really, really good roster.
Really,
so what is the difference between the Steelers and the Cowboys? I'll tell you what the difference is. Since 2008, what the Steelers have done is won a Super Bowl, and then they went to 9 playoff appearances, 5 division titles, and another Super Bowl appearance. How many Super Bowls have the Cowboys won since 2008? Zero. How many Super Bowls have they been to since 2008? Zero. The Steelers are a better-run organization on paper and by results than the Dallas Cowboys. But yet every year we assume that the Dallas Cowboys are in Super Bowl contention. Now, part of that is because of the Dallas Cowboys, and we just talk about the Cowboys that way. But the reality is the Steelers are actually a team that is a quarterback away. The way that we talked about Denver before Russ got there is what the Steelers
I just
actually
don't agree.
Are.
So then, Joy, how do you, and you would know this best of probably anybody on television, how do you quantify the Steelers in 2017, the 2018, and 2019 when they had a quarterback?
Let's keep it a buck about Ben Roethlisberger as well at the end of his career.
Let's do the same. I would say, and we can go back and look at numbers, we can look at stats, or we can look at tape, that Ben Roethlisberger and this Russell Wilson are not far apart.
No, that's not true.
They are. Look at Russell Wilson's last two years.
Look at his last 2 years.
Look at his last year.
So we just want to look at one?
Also, I would say that the Steelers vastly underachieved when Ben was healthy and they had Le'Veon Bell and they had Antonio Brown. I think they vastly underachieved with that team. So it's not even like
And he can't run. Yeah. What about I say with Russ? No matter how bad he's playing, throwing it, right? Which last year, he didn't really do bad.
He didn't.
Good year. He can run, though.
So not anymore. Sir.
But he can run well enough.
Shady. The numbers say suggest otherwise.
The numbers tell you that, and I watched the games where sometimes he's extending plays. We watched when he beat Buffalo. What was he doing? He was running, he was extending plays and making it happen. The Chiefs, same thing. So I've watched him make good plays in moments where Ben, when got older, he looked awful. And he held the team for ransom. Leaving. Right. We can't act like they decide. I'm not going to say they're the same. Because my thing is this. Russ can still run. At the end of the day, that's one thing I learned about this game, man. I forget what coach taught me this, but if a quarterback is bad, if he still can run, you still got a shot.
The reason I don't believe it is for two reasons. Within the last 18 months, Russell Wilson pulled his hamstring trying to run because he's getting older. And also, his yards per attempt are about as bad as they've ever been. So I just don't believe that enough to be the case. The issue I have with this whole Russ-Steelers perfect match is the Steelers had good defenses. They had a Big Ben who was a good quarterback. He was not 2011 Ben, 2012 Ben, but 2017 and 2018, he was hurt in one of those years. He wasn't bad.
Okay, but
he wasn't bad.
We can't keep dwelling on the past.
Okay.
I played with a great one, and I could dwell on the past and think I should have four or five of them. So we can't. Right now, we're talking right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Acho. You're not going to another Super Bowl with what you have there, correct?
Of course not.
It ain't happening. So if you want to give yourself a fighting chance, it has to be Russ. If you go, so you clearly think that Kirk Cousins is better than Russell Wilson. That's what you're telling me.
I don't think it's clear.
Kurt ain't delivered in the playoffs. Kurt ain't delivered in the playoffs neither.
Kurt's better than Russ. We're not arguing that, are we? Right now?
I think it's an argument.
All right.
But here's where I'm at with Shady is, I agree. I
think Kirk is better than Russell.
Hold on, wait, I just want to get this straight, because I thought I knew football. Hold on. if they both were free agency,
yeah.
No, Kirk is better than Russell.
I want to answer.
If they both same prices.
They're not going to be the same price.
I know that.
So how's he better than him?
Kirk is better, but why, I don't know why we're talking about Kirk.
I'm not sure, man.
Because Kirk is not going to Pittsburgh.
That's crazy. All right, I'm going to say this real quick. If Russ, so for the Steelers, because you're saying it's like you don't like it at all.
I don't like it at all.
So
I don't like it at all.
I keep asking you the same question.
How are you going to win?
What should they do? Because we talk about Super Bowl. Let's just leave the Super Bowl thing alone. Because I keep saying we talk about Super Bowl like it's easy to do. Let's just go to winning a playoff game, right? Let's let some Steelers win a playoff game.
That was 2012.
Yeah,
16.
Right. You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So let's go here though. Let's just leave the Super Bowl alone. Let's just go. How can the Steelers get to the playoffs? Convincingly get to the playoffs, right? I need you to lose. We got to win. We're going to the playoffs. Okay. We're going to fight in our division, and we're going to win a playoff game. Can we just go there for a second? You don't think Russ can do that? Let's start there.
Yes, if you're starting there, I do believe Russ can do that.
That's all we're saying.
In the playoffs with that defense and the way that special team plays, now it goes from one game, we might steal another game. You agree on this? So let's just go there, because I feel like you're acting like Russ can't help him at all.
No, I think he can, but I don't think Mike Tomlin views it how you view it. I don't think he views it how Joy views it or James views it. I don't think Mike Tomlin is starting there.
So how?
I think Mike Tomlin is asking himself, who can help me win a Super Bowl?
I don't think he's thinking that.
Where is the Super Bowl quarterback?
He won a chance.
Where's the Super Bowl quarterback?
He won a chance.
Can we find it? Is like lost in some tunnel underneath.
They fight every year to even get in the playoffs.
Where is the Super Bowl quarterback store? There's Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
There's Joe Burrow. There's Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
That's it. Those are the three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That's it. That's all. That's what we got. So those three of them are not available. They're not on the market.
Nope.
Everybody else we're talking about. Am I missing somebody?
No.
Okay, so you have to start with who gives you a chance.
I'm thinking bigger picture. Maybe the quarterback.
Jalen Hurts, I'm sorry.
Maybe the quarterback who's had the greatest rookie season is a quarterback who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers in Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe a quarterback who's had the greatest.
Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer.
He is. But what I'm saying is, if you're Mike Tomlin, you want Russell Wilson on a one-year deal just to hopefully.
Bridge quarterback.
People use
bridge quarterback all the time. Yeah.
Sure. But if you're Mike Tomlin, after going through Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, the year Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, he had Mason Rudolph. Now you got Russell Wilson for a year or two. You rather do that, or would you rather draft a guy?
But I would rather do that. We just drafted somebody who we knew very well. Kenny Pickett played for the University of Pittsburgh. University of Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh Steelers train in the same place. Like, there's also, nobody they know
but
better.
We also knew Kenny Pickett wasn't that good. We all knew.
I didn't know that.
Well, we knew. Remember, Kenny Pickett wasn't going to go in the first round. Like, that was a terrible quarterback draft class.
Oh, okay. He went. I don't know what that means.
So
he
even
went.
With that being said, what the Steelers picking? 20-something?
20-something.
Okay, so who are you getting?
Penix.
Okay, and you want Penix to come in there, who's battled a lot of injuries. You
lot
want him, you want him to come in there, and you want him, because we're talking Super Bowls, right? Are we even talking playoff wins? You want him to come in there and do better than Russ? Even if you do draft somebody and you're saying Kenny Pickett is not our guy, at least you get Russ for cheap and you could bring a guy like Penix and put him underneath Russ.
Let me ask y'all this before we take
you
the
break. You will not be my GM.
Let me ask y'all this. What's your intention for Russell Wilson, Shady? I'll start with you. You want him for 2 years, and hopefully in those 2 years you can win a Super Bowl? Like, what do you realistically think Russell Wilson can do in the Pittsburgh Steelers?
First of all, the first is going to be free, right? Okay. So the money you might want to pay Russ, you can pay somebody else. They might need some more help on defense, right? That's the only part of the team that's playing.
That's another really good
So that's
point.
One part, right? The money-wise, you get some more help. Then another thing is, like, we watched the Niners, right? And I hate to say this, but the Niners, now just hear me out, their coaching philosophy, yo, we're going to take the average quarterbacks and try to build around with these great talent, and then we're going to get there. All I'm saying is that you keep talking about the Super Bowl. I'm taking that out the equation. I'm saying to give my team a chance to even compete for a Super Bowl. We're going to get to this playoffs. We're going to get the playoffs, and then we're going to make some noise with the defense. Because I learned when you have a defense in the playoffs, anything is possible. We talk about how the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are all these great things. That's true. They don't do that without that defense.
No, they don't.
So you get to some defense, you get the playoffs, anything is possible. And then another thing is, I look at the Steelers from back then to now, they are the same type of team. We're going to have defense first. We're going to be physical. We hope our quarterback can make plays here and there, and they won't run the ball. You can do all them things with Russ. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Well, what the Giants are saying is that they will not tag Saquon.
That's what I heard.
It's that Saquon, after 6 years, hey, go do what you want to do. The free agent market is crazier than we've ever seen for the running back position. Ooh. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, amongst others. It's time for our running back, LeSean McCoy, Eagles all-time rushing leader, to rank the best running backs available. Where should they go? That's next. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel, SiriusXM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, family? Welcome back to Speak. It's an honor. It's a privilege. You got the all-time rushing leader. We have him every day, but it's especially exciting on days like today. Saquon Barkley, New York Giants. They said, look, big dog, go do your thing. Test the free agent market. But what that means, Shady, is it's the greatest running back free agent market we've ever seen in the history of the National Football League. You're the Eagles all-time rushing leader. You know everything there's to know about running backs. Tell me the top five available running backs right here, right now on a day, big
dog. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. I'm going for Dallas. They didn't sign him with Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard
to five. Listen, Tony, nice, though. Don't forget, when Zeke left, he carried the workload. He was that beast in the pass game, in the running game. I think that he's a top five guy. Go get him.
Shady, what makes Tony Pollard so special?
He's versatile, man. He really is. He's a lot tougher than I thought he was. He can block. He can put his nose in there on short yardage. And he can go the distance and take it to the crib.
Do you still believe that he's an all-purpose back? When he had Zeke, he didn't have to do everything. He didn't have to grind in the goal line. He didn't have to get the third and short carries. This year, it was kind of obvious that Tony Pollard lacked a little bit of a punch.
He
broke his leg the year before versus the Niners. Do you still think that he's a three-down back?
I truly do. I think we didn't see a lot of him because the Cowboys' offense is so deep. They got so many weapons, right? So if you go to a team that doesn't have as many weapons, they need you more, I think you can deliver that. And if you want to get an extra running back, maybe a powerful guy to bring him in there so he don't get banged up, you can do that. I think that Tony Pollard needs about 15 to 20 touches a game.
Yeah.
He's that good. But you never know.
Speaking of powerful running backs, who you got at number four, big dog?
We talking about a king. We ain't talking about LeBron. We talking about Derrick Henry. Y'all done forgot. Roy Jones said it best. Y'all must have forgot. Anyway, Derrick Henry is that good. Don't forget this guy's a 2,000-yard rusher. Don't forget he carried the Tennessee Titans for so many years. Right? And he played with not that many good players. Right? I talk to A.J. Brown all the time. Like, yo, how was it playing with Derrick Henry? He said, I've never played with a player that could any given moment take over the game. And if you a team out there that needs a running back to take over the game, he's your guy. Why not? He doesn't fumble. He's super durable.
Super.
He's probably got hurt, what, two times out of his long career? Now, he is 30 years old.
That's what I was going to ask you. That's what I was going to ask you. He just hit 30. You lived it out. So this ain't a journalist writing when he gets over 30. He falls off.
Boy.
Shady, you're well over 30. Calm down. Those Achilles are safe. Derrick Henry, you worried about him now that he hit 30?
I'm not. You know, because I think the difference between him is he never really gets hurt, and he's always available.
Yeah.
Most running backs, they might have little small injuries here and there, and then they hit 30, all of them come together, but not him. He don't really get hurt.
Okay.
And another thing is he can carry the load. 25 carries a game, he can do that.
And number three, that's the man that we've really been talking about, Saquon Barkley. Who you got?
Ooh, he's only 27. I like Saquon. He's probably the most talented running back in this draft, him or Swift, however you want to put it. Dayball's my guy. Ryan Dayball's my guy. I don't know why he's not signing him back, but any team out there that wants a running back, go out there and get Saquon Barkley. He's that good. He's that talented. Keep him fresh. I would get a team that has some weapons around him, a solid quarterback, maybe some wide receivers, so he's not getting all the workload. We see when he gets a lot of workload what happens, but he's a viable dude. That's why he's my number three.
I'm surprised that he's just at three, which makes me so eager to see. Who do you have at number two? I know you're a Swifty.
You know I like a little Swifty. Let's go to Philly, baby. Now listen, I don't need no cars for this. Listen, Philadelphia, I don't got to tell you how we rose and what to do because you do your job at a high elite level. But when we needed a spark this year with the Philadelphia Eagles, who do we go to? We didn't go to Jalen Hurts.
Nah.
We didn't go to A.J. Brown.
Nope.
We went to this man. We went to this young brother from Philadelphia. He's a hometown kid. He's a hometown hero. Signing back. He don't want a lot of money. I talked to him earlier today. He just wants a nice amount of money. Please get him. We just lost Kelsey. We cannot lose Swift.
What makes Swift better in your mind right here, right now, than Saquon Barkley?
The first thing I told you, man, he's probably either Saquon or Swift is the most talented running backs in the free agency market right now. He's younger. I think he runs a little bit harder, and I think right now it fits well for the team. Yeah. See, one thing I always tell people, like, even in the real estate world, I hate to change teams. I like my head coach, I like my running back, I like my quarterback. You already have that. You already know what he does,
smart,
the good
smart,
and the bad.
Smart.
He's already in the room. Keep him there.
Smart, very smart man. Now, you said Saquon's talented. You said that Swift is talented, but neither of them are number one. So explain to me who you have at number one and why.
I think I forgot. Can I see it? Let me see that. Oh, there he goes.
There he is.
Josh Jacobs. Now, listen. Now, hold on. Now, this one is like a no-brainer.
Okay.
Now, the year he last year, he led the league in rushing. I had a conversation with him, like, yo, are you going to stay or don't give me a contract? He said, yo, they did not offer me a contract. I said, huh? I said, what? Antonio Pierce. See, they finally got a good coach in there. They finally got a winner in there. AP, go get this man. You got Devontae Adams out there, out deep, you know what I mean, doing his thing. And you got the rushing leader in the backfield. He's the most complete running back out of this whole thing. One, two, three. I ain't gonna count.
Five.
He's the most complete running back. Please, so he can run, he can block, he can catch, he can take over a game. But not to even talk about him, I do got some honorable mention guys.
Okay.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
For the Texans, yo. He bought out this year. I played with him in Buffalo. He's a smart dude. He got the Shady McCoy shake moves. So you know what that is. That's the winner in itself. And then the other one, Zach Moss. We all want to talk about how great the running game is with the Colts, and we give it credit to Jonathan Taylor, but that's Zach Moss. He put his thing down this year, Paul. So go home and get him AD. I know you are a Colts fan. I see you in the back. Anyway, these are my running backs, fantasy picks. And the last one, the best one, number six. LeSean Shady McCoy. That's still available. That don't cost that much. Back in the day, I might have cost you $11 million a year. But right now on Fox, pay me a little salary. I'll come save the day
for you. You believe us like that?
Yeah, I would. Little meal ticket, I'll take it.
Now, ain't a problem, though, Shady. You realize that recessed your Hall of Fame eligibility.
So I'm going to get there one day. You know what's coming. You know what I mean?
James Jones, Shady brought up Josh Jacobs, the Raiders. You know the Raiders very, very well. They obviously are going to let Josh Jacobs walk after the tension from last year.
Oh, no.
Who is the best running back?
Don't speak that.
Who's the best running back available in your mind?
I think Shady got it right. It's Josh Jacobs. I watch Josh Jacobs year in and year out. He is an every down back. First down, second down, third down, fourth down. Mm-hmm. He is an every down back. I'm sitting up there. I know we have Devontae Adams. And as I sit up there and watch these games, I'm like, get Josh the ball, right? Get Josh the ball on first down, second down, and third down. He's super young. He's 26 years old as a running back, right? 2,000 yards. The previous year, got hurt 13 games, 1,100 yards this year, 6 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs is a complete back. If the Raiders let him walk, I'm going to be very, 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 very upset. This is a kid that you can put in there, and this is a kid that you can build your team around. It's not a lot of these running backs up there that we can really still say you're going to build your team around him. Josh Jacobs is one of those guys. Super young, every down back, you can still build your team around this young fella.
Joy, best running back available.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't disagree. I think Josh Jacobs is still young enough, and he's going into his prime still in his prime, so you could put him in that position. I gotta say, though, and maybe I'm biased because he's one of my favorite players in the league, but Derrick Henry had almost 1,400 total yards last year at his very, very big age of 30. 4 Pro Bowls, over 1,000 total yards in 6 straight seasons, at least 10 touchdowns in 6 straight seasons. I know we're very ageist on this show, but Derrick Henry is still like that. And I don't know that he's somebody that you build your team around, with Josh Jacobs, but with the right team, somebody who needs an explosive player. I don't know if you've watched Derrick Henry as of late, but no one can tackle him still once he gets going. It is downhill. It is ferocious. Nice. Yeah. He can take over a game still. So I think he could be an incredible piece to a team that needs an addition like that and still produce at a very high level. But I do agree with everyone. If you're talking about all-around total talent, age, being put into a position where the offense truly relies on you every down, Josh Jacobs is in that position.
Shady, let's talk Derrick Henry for a moment because I love talking running backs with somebody like you who knows the position better than anybody on national television. Derrick Henry, to me, is a system running back. He ain't an every system running back. He is a right system running back because he has to get going. He has to get downhill. I don't like him in a spread offense. I don't like him in a gun with powers and guns with counters. I don't like none of that. He needs to go downhill immediately, preferably with the fullback, a wide back, but somebody off the ball. When you think of Derrick Henry, because the Baltimore Ravens, they will be in the market, where do you think makes sense? Like, is Derrick Henry in your mind, is he still a 1,200-yard rusher, a 1,400-yard rusher?
Love to see him play for a team like the Ravens, right? Where we were going to run the ball. That's what we're going to do first. And he needs to be a system where he can get 20 plus touches, right? I look at the guys that have now, like Gus Edwards. Mm-hmm. What's my man?
Justice Hill, he'd be hurt.
The one that's always hurt for
Williams,
the
Ravens, I think. J.K.
J.K. Dobbins. Yep. Those are good running backs, but they're not Derrick Henry.
Of course
you
not.
Heard what Joey talking.
Of course
about.
Not.
So my thing is, he's the type of guy, if you really watch his tape, he's not the best laterally, right?
Not at all.
He's not the best find the hole, eyes-wise and vision-wise, but he's so good and so different. He can make 2-3 bad cuts. He's so good. I'm going to break this tackle. I'm going to find the hole when I'm going to hit it. That's one thing I like about Derrick Henry. You'll see sometimes where he have 17 carries for 40 yards in that game with 188 yards. Right? 28 carries. That's what he
good facts.
Is. So my thing is, let this big guy, you know, beat up the middle a little bit, pause. Let him get a lot more carries, right? And then he can hit the home run. We put him with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the read option. Oh, my God. He's easy going to get 1,300 yards. Because it's going to get yards more like they're thinking Lamar's going to keep it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he hits the hole. And who wants to tackle Derrick Henry at a full set of steam?
Especially in the cold.
Especially in the cold. Niggas cold in Baltimore. So I would love to see him somewhere like that. And I'm going to go another place that you're not thinking. But you might like it, Joey Taylor.
I think I know what you're about
to say. The Steelers!
They already got backs, though, big dog.
Ooh.
Couple of them.
Ooh.
They got Najee, you got Warren.
They got a sign.
Najee walking?
Who they got over there? Listen, I like Najee. Najee's good.
Najee seems like a younger Derrick Henry, like a little snack-sized Derrick Henry.
He's not as fast.
He's not as explosive.
When you watch him play, he's not as fast.
He's not the same type of back.
Not as fast, not as explosive, right? And another thing is, like, when I watch him play, he lost his job, too, though.
He did.
So what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is I would rather if you're the Steelers.
Okay.
You got a younger Najee if you want to re-sign him for cheaper. Mm-hmm. And you got Jalen Warren.
He's good.
Or you're going to bring in a 30-year-old Derrick Henry who had the least yards per carry he's had in his career?
It actually makes sense if you have those young guys to bring in somebody like him. And they are a team that is going to run the ball first, similar to Baltimore.
But Derrick Henry's coming in there to get all the touches.
No, he's coming in there. I will say this. When you're at 30 years old, it don't work like that. You don't just be demanding stuff. I know, trust me. My thing is, and then he might like this, though, because, yo, he might add on another 4 or 5 years on his career. And let's say he gets 1,000 yards. I think he's going to get 1,300 yards, if you ask me. Right? He can do more with less. You go to the Steelers, where the offensive line is not really great, but they're good enough. The pass game is not really great. The defense is super great. We're going to run the ball over and over again. I think that's a team for him. You look at what the stuff with Warren did, and then even Najee. Najee played good this year. He played okay. I expect a little bit more from him because I thought he was a really, really good running back. But you look at Derrick Henry, man, they're night and day.
Yeah. Running backs fall off a cliff suddenly. Like, suddenly. Derrick Henry, 68 yards a game last year. Year before, 96. Year before, 117. Derrick Henry, only 4.2 yards a carry last year. The least he's ever had in his career.
You know how to play that. It's not at all.
He also had almost 1,400 total yards.
Yo, he was hurt. He was hurt, and he spent a little bit of carries last year, too. To keep that in mind.
I'm keeping it in mind, but that's why I'm going by averages, because now I'm just going at yards per game.
Yeah, but then again, name me another dude on his offense.
Can't really.
Exactly. And then he was out there with a rookie quarterback. So you know Derrick Henry is going to get the football.
Yeah, sure.
He spoke Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is running and passing that thing. And not only that, when he is handing it off, they still got to account for him. So that's a less guy in the box to try to go down there and tackle Derrick Henry. He had to do it all last year. The game plan was to stop Derrick Henry. If he gets to a really good situation, I'm with Shady. It's going to be tough to stop him from getting 1,300 yards if he gets to a
really good situation. Yeah, and that's not even – I mean, because he could take it the distance too, though, right? And I want to give him a lot of carries, but then I think about it, you can, because he's done it his whole career.
Whole career.
And he hasn't slowed down.
Whole career.
He got to show me, though. If he's going to slow down, he got to show it.
Yeah, like right? You're not going to guess him slowing down.
I truly think that the best back in this fantasy market is Jacobs. He can do everything.
Yes, he can.
Well, speaking of showing it, the Lakers last night, they showed up and they showed out, especially D'Angelo Russell, 26 points. That was a Lakers high. LeBron James added 24. AD, another double-double, had himself 12 rebounds to go along with his 20-plus points. After beating the one seed, should teams fear the Lakers? Lakers showed up and they made a statement. But what does it mean? That's next on Speak. LeBron James, he put in plenty of work last night, had himself a phenomenal game, but D'Angelo Russell, he was the storyline. 26 points as the Lakers, who were fighting for their own playoff spot, beat the number one seed in the West. Head coach Darvin Ham said, quote, "We understand time is of the essence." It absolutely is, James Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Lakers are literally fighting for their playoff hopes. They're at the back end of that 8, 9, 10 seed as it pertains to play in games, but they beat the number one seed in the West. Well, what does it mean, big dog? What did that win mean?
Yeah, beat them down, too. It meant a couple things. When they play defense, they're a really good basketball team. And when they have a third option, they're a really good basketball team. We all get on these shows and we talk about my man Anthony Davis, 24-7, inconsistent, needs to do more. But if they can get a third score, because D'Lo and Anthony Davis is the same. D'Lo will look like he looked last night, and the next game come out here with 7 points and 1-for-12 on three-pointers. But if LeBron James could get D'Lo to play the way he played, and I'm not even saying knocking down those hard three-point shots that he made, but just getting to get you 18, get you 20, right? Because D'Lo could do that. D'Lo is a great player on the offensive side of the ball, right? If he can be aggressive and if he can be that third option to score the basketball, even if Anthony Davis plays average and gives you 20 like he did last night, the Lakers are going to have an opportunity to win a lot of basketball games. When D'Lo scores 20, they 14-5. When he don't score 20, they below 500. If you give LeBron a third option out there, which D'Lo is, because the ball is in his hands a lot, if he can do this, the Lakers will be a tough outing in the play-in, in the playoffs, if they can get that consistent third score. That's what I learned last night watching this basketball game. Yeah, there it is.
I love it. Let me lie.
Shady, you wish you hooped so bad.
So bad. I would talk so much trash the whole game. For real.
We'll be on the sideline with you.
I would be like Patrick Beverly, but like a real good player. You know what I'm saying? Like talking all that talk, but be really like Iverson, spinning and all that. That would be me.
That boy said Patrick Beverly, but a really good player.
No, I'm saying the way he, you know how he is, I'm not saying he's bad, I'm just saying he ain't.
Joy Taylor, what does that win mean? Lakers beat the number one seed in the West.
When they play as a team, when they get contributions from everyone, they're a very good team. That was a very balanced win. We've talked a lot about the Lakers over the past couple of days. What's going to happen if LeBron has to be the only one scoring? How are they going to beat anybody? Because one night they win if it's a bad team. The next night LeBron has 40 and they lose. Yeah, because it's a team game. LeBron James should not have to be doing that every single night. And by the way, he's still averaging 25 points per game. When Shady talked about the other, was it yesterday? LeBron ain't going nowhere. We're going to give LeBron some flowers in a minute, but like LeBron is doing what LeBron does.
Friday?
No.
Not yet. That's a good suggestion. Write that down, Heather. We do need to give LeBron some flowers on Friday. LeBron's going to do what he does because he's still doing what he does. Anthony Davis needs to be consistent, and they need a third option. And by the way, the rest of the roster can contribute as well.
Yeah.
Torian Prince was big last night. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just D'Lo. D'Lo should be doing that. Dilo's a very talented player. That should be the expectations of him. He just is so inconsistent that we don't put it on him anymore. But if he can score, I don't even expect him to do what he did last night. Last night was an incredible game. If he can score more than 20, if you can get some contributions from the rest of the roster, which you should expect to do if that is a good team, then that's what could happen. Yeah. And obviously, they're coming off a back-to-back OKC, and you know we can take that into consideration that maybe it won't be that way every single time because it is the NBA. There's factors to consider here. But what we do know about the Lakers is they have two high-level players at the top. They are a top-heavy team, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Those are two of the best players in the league still today. If they can get contributions from the rest of the roster, they are a very good team. That was a team win that you saw last night. There was moving the ball around, assists,
defense.
Everyone's contributing, defense taking advantage of mistakes. That's what a good team looks like. That's a good team win.
Yeah, see, this is the Lakers for you, though, man. It's like they're inconsistent. And I talked about this like last year. They did come from the play-in all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And in games like this, OKC is a good team. Mm-hmm. But they got an MVP candidate. Yeah, so that's the reason. But it's just the Denver's is a different team.
Yeah.
If they could find a way to get away from Denver and just play Laker ball, they'd be a different squad. Like, even D'Lo. Like, I'm a D'Lo fan again. And when he snitched on Nick Young, I kind of left him alone. But now he's back to balling, right? I can rock with him. If D'Lo could continue to give them type of numbers up, them type of shots, he played with more confidence, too, now, it looks like. And then I do need Austin Reaves to start playing better. I need Austin Reaves from last year. The reason why they paid Austin Reaves because he was that dude.
He had a good night last night.
I need to be consistent. We thought that we were going, he had 16 points. I'm just saying, for him, last year, he was that third option. Like, yo, he's scoring. That's the first time I've seen LeBron, just other than Kyrie Irving, where LeBron's playing on the wing. And they were actually going through Austin Reaves last year and picking a role with Anthony Davis. So seeing them, like, okay, this may be the guy. He hasn't been the guy that we've been looking for. And on defense, he's been lacking. So I'll just say this. I need AD to give me these type of games, right? 12 rebounds, 24 points, right? Getting some blocks. Getting involved in there. I feel like when he plays the Nuggets, it's like he ain't there.
Yeah.
I don't know because he don't want to be there because, big fella over there holding it down. But for the Lakers to be a good team and be consistent, we need the role players to play well and they play defense. They get all these different additions to the team this year. I need Prince to start balling.
Yeah.
When that first game of the season, I see Prince, I'm like, oh, they got some. I need to see that for this team to be really, really good because LeBron James, he might not score 30 points or 29 points every game, right? But if you need him to score it, and guys ain't, he can do that. But he can't do it over and over and over again. He needs his role players to take some pressure off him. And then, as a closer, you need me to close this game out? I got you. I'm the king. But Lakers, I'll say this again about the Lakers, though. I'm not counting them out. Mm-mm. I seen these boys in yellow and that purple do it last year, and they could do it again.
But you're not counting them out from the Western Conference Finals.
I'm not.
That's cool.
Mm.
I'm not counting them out from that either.
But
I'm not counting them out from that.
But you can't see it. And what I'm saying is,
you can't.
Last year we said the same thing. Oh, AD, they're inconsistent. And then these boys just kept winning and winning. And winning, and then they got to the Western Conference Finals.
I think he's slick, though, because he said Western Conference Finals, they're not winning it.
They're not winning the championship. But no, wait, because
he's this again.
That's the question, though. Who are you saying is going to the finals?
Western Conference.
No.
Oh, NBA Finals?
Yeah.
I'll go Nuggets Celtics. But let me answer this question first, then I'm going to get back to that. What I learned yesterday is that the Lakers are the exact same team they were last year. Joy said it yesterday. I didn't agree. Yesterday, I was like, no, Joy, I don't even think they're as good as they were last year. Now I know that they are the exact same team as they are last year. Last year, they beat the 3 seed. Or they beat the 2 seed. They beat the 2 seed Grizzlies as a 7 seed. This year, OKC's probably going to end up as a 2 seed. Or OKC's going to end up as a 3 seed. They might end up as a 1 seed. They're kind of a 3-way tie as of yesterday. So they might end up as a 2 or 3 seed. And the Lakers, I think, are capable of beating a young, inexperienced playoff team like they did last year when they beat the Grizzlies. Then the Lakers beat the Warriors last year. I think the Lakers are capable of, if they beat OKC, beating the Warriors or beating the Mavericks or beating the Clippers. But this game... I think they're capable of beating
them. This is good. Okay.
But this game, again, I don't think PG and Kawhi are going to play all the games in the playoffs because they never do. But this game, it just showed me that they're the exact same team as they were last year. The exact same team. They're capable of beating a young, inexperienced team.
So you should be excited about that then.
I can't be because I'm not excited about a Western Conference Finals appearance. That's the only place I'm different between you and you, Joy, and you, Shady.
Talking about the Clippers, right? Heller, correct me if I'm wrong. I know I had this. I don't want to get Clippers fans mad at me. I live in Los Angeles.
They ain't been there.
But they've been to the Western Conference Finals
once, I believe. Once.
Why are we talking about the Clippers? With all due respect. Why are we talking about the Clippers?
Hold on.
Because they got a good team.
They a good team.
They are a good team.
And they a mismatch problem from a lot of people.
They are.
That's why they're on the road right now.
They might be in the Western Conference Finals this year.
But I'm saying, why?
But you talking about it like it's not, like if they made it to the Western Conference Finals. And the Clippers are a good team, they might get to the Western Conference Finals this year. I'm saying, if the Clippers got to the Western Conference Finals this year,
Big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. But wait, so you're just saying because it's LeBron?
Of course, but we are talking about one of the greatest, maybe the greatest players who has maybe the greatest legacy ever. LeBron James is here. The Clippers are there. LeBron is here. OKC is there. LeBron is here. The Mavericks are there. We are talking about LeBron James. The gravity of that name has to matter.
I know who he is.
It has to matter.
Yeah, but it's also really hard to get to the Western Conference Finals.
It is.
We get spoiled with LeBron that he was in the finals.
Yes.
Yeah, but can we also apply some logic, some reason?
No, not to LeBron.
We just have to be hysterical the entire time?
Only because LeBron James defies logic and he defies reason. So who am I to now start applying logic? Who am I to now start applying reason? If you apply logic or reason to Tom Brady, they would never be Tom Brady. You can't apply logic or reason to LeBron James. At 39 years old, LeSean McCoy, LeBron James averaging 25 points per game, that is illogical and that is unreasonable. I'm staying here. I'm staying unreasonable and illogical for LeBron because that's how LeBron has conditioned me for 19 to 20
years. But even with all that being said, you don't think the Lakers could win a championship. Right? You really don't even think the Lakers could go to the Western Conference Finals. So if LeBron James was able to accomplish that, even if it's something that you don't think he can accomplish, that's not an accomplishment for the Lakers?
No. But it's only not because, like, let's think about LeBron James for a second. Shady, you know LeBron well. James, you do. Joy, we do. As at least the sports fans, maybe not personally. 2007, I didn't think LeBron James could go to the NBA Finals. And he did. 2016, I didn't think LeBron James could come back from down 3-1. And he did. So I don't think a lot of things of LeBron, yeah, but LeBron does.
That's what he does.
Nobody comes back from 3-1.
Yeah. That's,
but his team was built to win a championship.
And that was a different team. It was a different point in his career.
Sure.
Also, can we do this? Because this is really what is the thorn in my side about this conversation. Can we put some respect on some of the other teams in the league? The Nuggets are an incredible team with probably the best player in the league on their roster. They are a great team. Phoenix has three top-level players. Luka Doncic is one of the greatest basketball players on the planet. Yeah. There are other teams. Hello, OKC is a great basketball team. There are teams that they would have to beat to get to the Western Conference Finals that are full of talent, that are young, with guys in their prime, who are well coached, who have great regular seasons. So can we not disrespect all of them by just saying that we demand that LeBron James be in the finals every single year?
To me, it's not disrespectful. To me, that's not my intention. If it comes off as that, I apologize, Luke. I apologize, SGA. That's not my intention. But greats I hold here. And the reason I hold them here is because I will not speak of Tom Brady how we speak of anybody else. I won't speak of LeBron or Jordan how we speak of anybody else. Charles Barkley's a great. Gary Payton, a great. All of the greats. Clyde Drexler, a great. Akeem, a great. Great. But to Jordan, it was irrelevant. To LeBron James, all these players over the course of his career, great. But when you're talking about a basketball deity, then I have deity-like expectations. And LeBron, he's not a normal basketball human. He is a deity. So I'm putting him, Shady, in the deity box.
What about the rest of his team?
Anthony.
Because this is a team game.
It is.
So maybe LeBron does show up every single night and averages 25 at the age of 39 and defies all logic and is a basketball deity. But basketball, despite the fact that we minimize it all to the superstars, is a team game.
It is. And that is convenient for nuanced, brilliant conversations.
No, it's literally a team game.
Here's my thing is, we don't talk about Scott Paxton.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about Steve Kerr. Yeah. We don't. And Joy's right, because they hit crucial shots.
They did.
Game-winning, buzzer-beating, crucial shot. We don't talk about Kerr. No. We don't talk about Paxton. We talk about Jordan. We don't talk about the fact that Draymond got suspended for game 5. We talk about the fact that, like, Jordan got dubbed. We don't talk about the fact that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love got hurt in 2015. I think the Warriors were down 2-1. We don't. We talk about LeBron lost. Yeah. So, Joy is right. You are not wrong at all, but...
So you're just saying whatever team LeBron James is on, your standards is up there. It has to be championship or nothing. That's what you're saying. No matter how old, no matter none, this has to get done, even if you...
That's what LeBron says. I just subscribe to the doctrine of King James. When we return, Dak Prescott, he is up for a huge extension. But who needs who more? Does Dak need the Cowboys or do the Cowboys need Dak? That is next on Speak.
Jason Kelce, in heartbreaking fashion, announced his retirement from the Philadelphia Eagles after 13 seasons with just one team, an Eagles legend, one of the all-time greats. It was emotional, it was heartfelt, but the six-time first-team All-Pro is officially parting ways. The Eagles, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They were Super Bowl favorites going into last season. Shady, you are the all-time leading rusher, one of the most memorable players in franchise history. Jason Kelce literally said his favorite Super Bowl memory was the 2014 snow game when you, in the midst of all that snow, cut on a dime. So Kelce shouted you out during his presser. I watched the whole thing. But Shady, does Kelce's loss, does it close the Super Bowl window? Does it hurt the Eagles' Super Bowl chances? Let's start there.
Yeah, I think it hurts the offense for sure. And not just the offense, even the team, the leadership. When you look at the team that they had, Jalen Hurts was an emerging star. He was young, right? And I think you have guys like Kelce on the team, Lane Johnson. You got Fletcher Cox, BG. Some of them guys that might not be there. And then you lose Kelce, your center. So it puts more pressure on the quarterback. So now even in the huddles or even on plays, you got to identify the mic or the slide protections and the protection. Kelce did a lot of that, right? They simplify it for you as a quarterback. Now I got to do that. So I had a bad year, I got to play better, and I got to do all the cadences and all the protection stuff. So that might have some type of impact on the offense. But then it's just playing ball. I think Kelce was the type of guy that you could depend on no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, he might not be there. So I would truly encourage the Eagles, especially Howie Roseman, to in free agency, go out there and get a center, right? I don't know if you want to get a young guy to start over again. Get somebody that's smart, that's experienced, right, that maybe might not be the Jason Kelce, but be close enough where you don't have a drop-off. Because one thing about that center, man, you always want a great left tackle, but you want a good center because the center is the quarterback of the offensive line.
Shady, talk a little bit of the nuance because you played so many years, you've forgotten more football than most people know. So as you're talking, it seems easy to you, but it's complex. The quarterback, they can identify the mic, the middle linebacker. They can identify how to slide the protection. Or in some cases, the center, he can make all the calls for the protection to make sure the quarterback doesn't get sacked. Talk to me about the dynamic of Kelce now being gone in more basic terms.
So I'll give you a simple situation. So Mike Vick, when he came home from jail, right, he was rusty. He had to knock all the rust off. And our center was doing all the calls, right? So Mike had to look at the safeties, look at the secondary, what the coverage is and all that. And he looked at the center was doing all the protections. If I see a blitz coming, I'm alerting the line of scrimmage what's going on, the lineman, what's going on. So the quarterback don't have to worry about that. So now if you look at today's game with Jalen Hurts and Jason Kelce and all of us in line, where there's times where the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, he doesn't worry about the pressures because I got my center there that's a veteran, that's smart, that knows exactly what's going on. He's a coach. So if I see a blitz off the edge, he's going to alert the whole line, right? He's going to alert me, but alert the whole line. So they take care of that. Well, now he's gone, Jalen Hurts has to worry about that now. So now not only am I worried about the plays that's called, what the defense is running, right, what the pressure is, what the adjustments are, what route combinations I got to tell my wide receivers. Now I got to worry about, if they're bringing pressure from hot, I got to alert my offensive line and I got to alert my wide receivers. So that's just a lot going on in, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I do think that that part of the game, the intelligence of Jason Kelce and seeing so many different coverages, seeing so many different blitzes. One thing about learning this game of football that I've experienced from my rookie year all the way to my 12th year is that I've seen so many different pressures that I'm never surprised. Jason Kelce's seen more pressure than I've seen it, so he's never going to be surprised. You get a young lineman in there, a young center, ask him to have all the responsibilities, he's going to be surprised. Oh, my bad coach, they brought this. I thought they were bringing that. Oh, I didn't see the blitz come. Because he's new at it. So I just think that make it affect the team. And then the last part is the leadership. There's times where, man, we have bad games back-to-back, and we need our leader to step up and talk to us. We need somebody to give us some hope, give us some faith. And he's that guy. Now he's gone. Who do you look to do that? Yeah. Scott, now this makes everyone on the team got to step up. From Jalen Hurts, now I need you to be more of a leader. I know you might not be as vocal. You might be more to yourself. That's dead now. Yeah. We need you to be more with the people.
Yeah.
Well, I need you to speak more, yell more, talk more. Show me some passion. Show me some emotion. Because Jason Kelce was giving you that. Mm-hmm. Jason can give you some F words, some great blocks, but then he'll give you some tears, right? And then he'll give you some encouragement. So they need all that in Philadelphia.
Yeah, this right here is tough. I think a lot of people don't understand how important the center is.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Jason Kelce is even more important because he don't miss no games, right?
That's so, a big one.
As an offensive lineman, you are banging every single play. That's what you are doing. Pause. You are banging every single play, right? 300 pounders. So to be there every single game, year in and year out, that's what Jason Kelce was.
Then on top of that, the communicating part of it. I'd never seen Aaron Rodgers rattle until they came up in there and they say, Scott Wells, who was a really good center when we run the Super Bowl, and Corey Linsley, who was at the Chargers, a really good center. I ain't never seen him rattle until Coach McCarthy said, man, Corey ain't playing. Aaron like, man, okay, snap count. Like, they don't, like, the way quarterbacks use the cadence nowadays, the center, number one, got to identify everything. Number two has to be on the same page with the quarterback. I remember when Corey Linsley was out, we were king of the free play, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers created that, right? So it was times to where Aaron Green, 18, Green, 18 said, hot, and these boys jumping, he ain't hiking it. We all coming, bruh. But that's a new center in there that can really mess up everything if you are not on the same page. And then on top of that, it does take a lot off the quarterback. Now if you Jalen Hurts and you're like, okay, I'm only worried about A.J. Brown and Smitty out here, get them the signals and all that. I'm not worried about the protection. Now you have to be on that protection and you got to pick up all that. Then you got to signal out all that. It might slow down and hurt the way he plays too. So we got to keep our eye out on this. I think this is going to hurt the Philadelphia Eagles because, number one, Jason Kelce was always there.
Always.
Hey, real quick, because I know you're a college guy. What year was Oregon in the playoffs, right, and three of their centers got hurt, right? They were, at halftime, they were smoking this team because I had a parlay bet. I had an 18 parlay. Everything hit. And,
was it 2014, Andy?
I don't know, but look, real quick.
No, it wasn't 2014.
No. I was playing. I was out the league.
Oh, you're out the league.
But look, 18, real quick, 18 parlay. I was smoking all of them. I was winning, right? And at halftime, Oregon was killing his team, right? And then the centers all got hurt. I might have bet like $2,000 to win like something crazy. I'm counting the money. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. The center got hurt. They were snapping the ball off schedule, offside. It was crazy.
That is.
That's how important that center is. I still remember this game.
Oregon in the playoffs. That was a good one. I don't know.
Herbert? Was it Herbert?
They were smoking this team, though.
Herbert didn't go to the playoffs.
Oh, Herbert didn't go to the playoffs?
Some things just never changes.
You know, college, exactly. Bro. Didn't go high to the playoffs?
Rose Bowl, senior year. Okay. Yeah. Wisconsin.
Anyway, I just had to – that was a story one for Herbert. He's four. How important is
that? This definitely doesn't help. It's a beautiful dance what the offensive line does. And the center is the center of it all. The center runs all of it. It's very important. I said yesterday, nobody cares about offensive linemen until they mess up. Mm-hmm. We don't pay no attention to them. They're just supposed to do their job. They get no credit, block. If you give up a sack, now we know your name. If you jump off sides, now we know your name. If you mess up the snap, now we know your name. And the consistency of being there every single game matters as well. So they lost a lot. I would hope that they had some level of preparation, some inclination that this might be coming so they're not completely caught off guard. But this is not a great situation for them to be in, especially coming off of, I wouldn't call it a dysfunctional year, but a disappointing year where there was a lot of moving pieces and a lot of questions about them being on the same page. So if nothing else, you're losing a big voice and leader in the locker room, and that matters as well.
The other question, though, is, James, you talked about an unstoppable play. The Eagles have the tush push, the brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Jason Kelce was at the center of that. Jalen Hurts, without that brotherly shove, they don't look good statistically.
15 of them boys.
15 of them. He almost broke your rushing record single season.
No, but that wouldn't count.
They would have.
No. Mine's a real touchdown. Yeah, that don't count.
They would have counted them.
They would have
counted them things.
I know.
I'm glad they did.
You would have got the program.
Exactly.
Kyle McCoy would have been number two.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Family, when we return, the craziest trade maybe ever. Well, most regrettable. Russell Wilson and his time in Denver, it is over. History was made yesterday when the Denver Broncos, after only 2 years with Russell Wilson, decided to part ways. But the question is, can Russ still take a team to a Super Bowl? That's next. Find out the answer on Speak. Russell Wilson, the tenure is over. You already know this by now. The Pro Bowl's quarterback, I think nine straight times, if I'm not mistaken. He has now been released. He's going to enter free agency. It is a wild, wild culmination to a tumultuous time in Denver. Joy Taylor, the question for you is very, very simple. Can you still win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson?
Yes. Say yes because...
You're a nice person?
I'm a nice person. No, I say yes because I think that Russ hasn't forgotten how to play football. I think we are still trying to put that first year in Denver behind us because it was very hideous. And he did bounce back a lot this year. I think if it hadn't gone as badly as it did in Denver the first year, we wouldn't even really be talking that bad about Russ, because this past year was not that bad. I think that if Sean Payton had come in, this was Sean Payton's first year and Russell Wilson's first year with Denver, we'd have been like, okay, they didn't achieve what we wanted them to achieve. But, you know, it's their first year. They'll be better next year. They'll get some bigger pieces. He'll be more comfortable in the offense. It's just that first year that really set us back in how we're thinking. I say that with the full knowledge that I am constantly bringing up that since 2018, it's been Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowl. So the trend shows you that if your name isn't Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Matthew Stafford, that you're not winning a Super Bowl. Now, you might go get to a Super Bowl, and things could happen in a Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, there really is, and Shady brings this up all the time, we talk about the Super Bowl way too much, way too flippantly. It's very, very hard to get to a Super Bowl. There are greats who have played the game who have never been to a Super Bowl, who have never won a Super Bowl. It is very hard to do. It's even harder to win it. It's even harder to go back. It's hard to do these things.
But Russ got to two. It's fair to talk about it with Russ.
Russ got to two.
Russ, it's fair.
So all that being said, Russ got to two.
Mm-hmm.
And he won one. Now, it wasn't that recent, but he did it, and he's still playing. So this isn't the end of his career. We still think he has time in the NFL. I think it's reasonable to say if he got in the right situation, things can happen. You got to have a lot of luck. You got to have things go your way. But things happen. We've had years where every quarterback in the league got injured. Every quarterback in the league got injured this year. It just so happened that Patrick Mahomes was not one of them. So I think it's possible. I think it's hard to get to and win a Super Bowl.
Why do you think that he can't win a Super Bowl?
Very simple. This probably might be the easiest argument I can make. The Baltimore Ravens had the number one defense in football last year. Mm-hmm. Russ on the Ravens, they win the Super Bowl? I mean, it's an obvious answer, no.
Lamar Jackson's never going to win a Super Bowl.
If you put Russ with the number one defense last year, I don't think they win the Super Bowl.
This is why I asked you the question, because Russ can still win a Super Bowl, because he's never just led his team to a Super Bowl. That never was his thing.
Sure.
I don't care how much we praise him, how much he's cooking, all the other stuff we talk about. He never just took his team to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
right? The team did.
Mm-hmm.
Your defense, I'm going to run the ball, and I'm going to make my plays here and there, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. So my thing is, he's still going to do that. We don't ask you to go take this team to Super Bowl like Patrick Mahomes or a guy like Josh Allen or Lamar. We don't ask you to do all that.
Sure.
Just go. However you get there is the same way you went there in Seattle.
But that's
okay.
But that team, to me, doesn't exist. The reason I was going to run down the gauntlet is very simple. Look at the top 10 defenses in football last year. Add Russell to any of those teams, I don't think they win the Super Bowl. Ravens are one, I don't think they win the Super Bowl. Chiefs are two, I don't think they win the Super Bowl. Niners are three, I don't think they win the Super Bowl, but that might be the best argument. I don't think they win the Super Bowl. The Bills are four, I don't think they win the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are five, I don't think they win the Super Bowl.
But by that standard, then we shouldn't be talking about nobody that's not Patrick Mahomes is capable of winning the Super Bowl. Because a lot of those guys you mentioned, I don't think any of those guys you mentioned have actually even played in a Super Bowl.
Correct. But I think at least you could make the argument that if you took Josh Allen and you put him on this team.
But we're playing if games.
Correct.
What we know, all those are ifs.
Mm-hmm.
What we do know is Russ has been 2-2 and has won one.
Correct. But he did all that. He did all that with players that are long since retired.
Yeah, but not only that, we do know that he beat Patty this year.
Sure.
So,
of course, a lot of people did.
But I truly believe he could have scored 20 points in that AFC Championship game and won the game. The Ravens did not make every play in that game. We can touch on a bunch of plays in that game that game goes a different way.
1,000%.
So, I mean, that is playing the if game, because I truly believe with that defense, even if you take Lamar out of there for that particular game, I think Russ can deliver 20 points.
Here's my problem, though, with thinking that Russ can still win a Super Bowl. I would love to say that he can. I want to just come up here and put it out on Twitter and get all the retweets in the world. I would love to do that. I just can't honestly say that. Russ won a Super Bowl with Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson. Those are the three greatest running backs 2010 to 2020. So he run with him. Then he had a legion of boom. And again, as a defender who really loves and studies defense at this desk, ain't nobody like them.
Except that
Baltimore Ravens and those Tampa Bay Bucks. Nobody's like them. So there's not a defense out there like that right now. It's not the Ravens. There's not a running back out there like Marshawn was in that day, except y'all could say Jacobs, if you will, but there's not a running back. McCaffrey, obviously. So I'm just sitting here saying, like,
But then who can win the Super Bowl, though? Like, why are we talking about any of these guys? Why are we talking about Lamar Jackson, who we know is way, 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 way better than Russell Wilson right now? He couldn't get it done. Joe Burrow couldn't win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts with the unbelievable defense in Philadelphia, all pro, couldn't win a Super Bowl. Like, who wins Super Bowls then now? Like, that, there, we have to either just only reserve the possibility that Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl and Matthew Stafford, or everybody else is just in the if game.
I'm just happy that y'all are finally at this point. Because I've been preaching since I've been on this show. We tell quarterbacks, y'all throw these Super Bowls. He ain't a Super Bowl. I'm like, so I'm happy that y'all, you too, you knew this. Oh. But you, y'all too. I'm happy that y'all finally here with me that it's hard as hell to win Super Bowls. So for the future, we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl thing, right? Is that cool? Since y'all finally agreeing. Y'all be throwing it. Oh, hey.
But here's where
nobody's won Super Bowls. But come on.
I don't think Russ can. Like, I don't think he can.
It's only like three of them doing it. I'm telling you.
Team though, like, I know we talk Legion of Boom and they are a legendary defense. But if it's any team that's close, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
James Jones.
Listen to me. I played against Pittsburgh Steelers defenses. I played against the Legion of Boom. I'm not saying that Legion of Boom defense is coming out there on that football field. What I'm saying is that's how the Steelers are built. They're built defensively. Quarterbacks does not have to be a superstar quarterback.
The Steelers didn't even have the best defense in football last year.
It don't matter.
Not
they
even the best.
They won games strictly on defense.
Congratulations. They didn't win that many. 10-7.
With Russ, they're going to win two more. And 12-5 is different than 10-7.
Play the cheese music.
Boom, 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 boom. No.
What are we doing out on the next side of the break? Okay, we're talking about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, he's got his star receiver, Mike Evans. Well, the Bucs do. Baker's a pending free agent. Should the Bucs commit to Baker now that Mike Evans is already signed, sealed, and delivered? That is next on Sweet.
So now Baker won a Super Bowl too now? We can't control ourselves.
Ben, we're in a hurry up offense. Big things are happening in Tampa. Mike Evans, he agreed to a 2-year deal with the Bucs, but next up is Baker Mayfield as he's set to hit free agency. The team, they won the division. They made it to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. So, Shady McCoy, should the Bucs keep it rolling? You played there. You won a Super Bowl there. Do they need to give Baker Mayfield an extension?
I mean, you could. He did have a good year.
Really good year.
He had a good year, right? But it's like, who needs who more? Seriously, that's a serious question. Before Baker Mayfield got to the Bucs, who was he? Who was he?
He was on his
fourth team in six years?
Yeah, third team.
That's what he was. So, like, he did have a good year. I mean, the team only went 9-8. I mean, it ain't like they just blew out the park.
What they did with Tom Brady the year before, actually 8-9.
But yeah, that was his last year. You keep saying that. Dave never went to the playoffs. He went to the press every time he was there. Stop saying Tom Brady's name, please.
I'm just saying, Baker had a better year than Tom Brady.
What does that mean? And Tom Brady also won a Super Bowl.
And who's knocking on Baker's door like that? We need him, right? Serious question, though. Like, Ryan Tannehill, if he's free agent, and then Baker, you know what I mean? If you take this last year away from Baker Mayfield, like, that would be a hard question, right? Serious question.
Of course.
So it's like, well, let's not forget who he is. I think he had a good year, and I don't want to take nothing from him.
Then let's not do that.
I just, when you ask me about an extension, like, how much? Because we see how that thing happened in New York with Daniel Jones. We knew he was weak. Mm. We knew he was above average. Under average, actually. And they paid him, and you see what that looks like. So I hate when people do the same thing and respect the different
results. But the thing about, for me, is Baker Mayfield, outside of Tom Brady, since we don't want to talk about Tom Brady, the Bucs hadn't been to the playoffs since 2002. So if we want to remove Tom Brady, then Baker Mayfield did for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization what hadn't been done in 20 years. So let's not talk about Tom Brady. Then Baker brought the Bucs what hasn't been done since 2002. Also in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield brought the Browns what hadn't been done in 30 years since 1994. So when I think about Baker Mayfield.
What's the percentage of a team that's 9-8 making the playoffs? Do you know the percentage? Mm-hmm. Or do you, because you're good at math, you don't want to talk about it.
That's history. It's not just math.
You don't want to talk about it.
That's just not math.
I'll just say this, though, man. There's a lot. It depends what the number is. Let's be serious. It depends what the number is, because there's other quarterbacks out there. Yeah. Like, even Jameis Winston, right? He might not be no superstar dude, but, yo, I mean,
never won two playoffs.
I'm just saying, it'll be a hard one to juggle. That's all I'm saying.
I truly believe he's earned a 1 to 2 year deal contract.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
He's not your franchise quarterback. So why would you sign him to a 4-year deal or something, treating him like he's your franchise quarterback? He's not. Right. Shady's right. They went 9-8. Did he have a solid year? Yes, but he's not your franchise quarterback.
Somebody had to win the division. That's how the rules are. Somebody had to win it.
It's hard to do.
Not really. Like,
yo, you think he'll have a market? You think he's going to have a market in the free agency? A what?
A little one.
A tiny one.
When we return, Caleb Williams named his GOAT at the quarterback position.
He got a mark.
He named his GOAT, and you will be surprised with what he had to say. That's next on Speak. Caleb Williams.
Adams family considered the top quarterback in the draft coming up, but who's his favorite quarterback? Who's his GOAT? Take a listen to what he had to say.
Who's your football GOAT?
Football, winning and things like that, mentality. Is Aaron, or Tom Brady. My football GOAT is Aaron Rodgers.
That didn't surprise me in one bit based on how he carries himself. James Jones, what you got to say?
I've been saying that, man. He's going to have me crying out here.
Why are you crying?
I've been saying 12 say? Is that dude, man.
I mean, he did say Tom Brady.
Out of respect, because he won so many Super Bowls. Talent on that football field. Aaron Rodgers.
They asked him to create his quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? He said Lamar Jackson with his speed.
Aaron Rodgers. Arm. Aaron Rodgers.
He said everything else Tom Brady.
A couple other things Tom Brady.
I'm just saying, everything else Tom Brady.
Like, don't try to take away what man.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
His quarterback GOAT is 12, and it's AR-12, not Tom Brady.
If you don't want to win championships, be Aaron Rodgers.
Family, appreciate you hanging out with us for the last 90 minutes. Race Hub is next. We'll see you tomorrow.